Welcome to Passion Church. For more information about Passion Church, please visit us online at www.passionchurch.tv. Now let's join the service already in progress.
Good morning, Passion Church. How are y'all doing?
Doing good.
Well, I'm excited to be here today. It's a great day, and I'm also excited for you guys to get to hear from someone that you haven't got to hear speak at least a full sermon before. And if you ever get a chance to if you're dropping off kids, you get to experience it a little bit in the morning. This is our children's pastor. She loves and cares for our children so dearly. And she, it's more than just babysitting back there, y'all. If you don't know that, you need to figure that out. We're not just here babysitting, but we desire that our children will encounter God the same way we encounter him here. And we're so thankful to have Kaylee as our children's pastor to come and share with us this morning and give us a little bit of what she gives the kids in the back. And I know she has a word for us. Can we honor her as she comes to share this morning?
Good morning. That was a sweet introduction, but yes, I am the kids pastor along with my husband, Blake. He can't actually be in here because he's with the kids, so he'll be in there this service and the next service as well. But like Andrew said, it's kids ministry, it's not childcare. And Madeline Nix, which many of you guys know, we had some big shoes to fill when we stepped in. But there was one thing that she always said, because she's been my mentor for about 5 years now. And one thing that she always told me is there is no junior Holy Spirit. And so that is one thing that we have seen in Passion Kids. Madeline did a great job at preparing the way for us to come in. And we have watched the Lord encounter them in more than just worship. And more than just the message. Really, it's our small group time where we actually get to talk to them, get to know them, get to spend one-on-one time with them. And they get to process the scripture, and we get to talk it out and give them the opportunity to know Jesus. And we've had several that have came to the knowledge of Jesus, and as you guys seen, get baptized as well. So it's been really, really sweet. And so if anybody in this room has any desire to ever work with children, we would love to have you because we need some volunteers. But again, it is kids ministry. And so it's an opportunity for you to pour into our next generation, to individuals that will one day be where you are today and have families as well. So it's super important job, and we love every single minute of it. And we'd love to really work alongside of any of you guys. So if you're ever interested, we are in the classroom all three services. So if you want to come see us and talk to us, just go down the hall, and we'll be there in that room, and we'd love to talk to you more about it. But yeah, so today, I'll start with this. Excuse me. Blake and I actually moved on Friday into our first home. And so we've been moving all weekend. It's been a super crazy process. We got this house, moved into it, and everything within a month. So super crazy. Also about 35, 40 minutes away, which is perfect for the country life, which I love. So super glad about that. But I did grab the wrong Bible. So I did bring my Bible, just grabbed the wrong one. So I do have a couple of different translations, but I do have it. But I'm going to have to read from the paper. So we're going to read from the ESV today. And so if you have your Bibles, you're more than welcome to turn to Jeremiah 18. And we're going to read verses 1 through 6. And it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel, as it seemed good for the potter to do. And the house of Israel, can I not treat you as this potter treats his clay? This is the Lord's declaration. Just like clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, house of Israel." And so Tarn Walls, or Wells, really says it the best. And he says, if it's not good, then he's not done. And that's kind of what I see in that message. And so we're going to spend some time going through that and how it relates to me, but also how it relates to you and how the Lord can use that in your life. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes and spend some time in prayer. Dear Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the stage to share your word. And it is so intimate and it is so sweet. And I pray that every single word that comes out of my mouth has absolutely nothing to do with me, but everything to do with you. And may you pierce every heart in this room. And I move out of the way so that you can take over. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm going to take it and I'm going to kind of break those verses down into a couple pieces and we'll walk through it that way. So the first part I want to go through is actually verses 1 and 2. And it says, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words. So back in Bible times, a lot of times what we see, especially when it comes to prophets, is the Lord likes to send them to places to learn through experience. That's how he taught them. And you have to think too, like, these people are leading groups of people. Like, they're pastors, they're your teachers, and things of that nature. So he wanted to teach them through experience. So that's exactly what he did with Jeremiah when he sent him to the potter's house. And we can also see it even in Abraham. In Abraham's life, in Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your land, from your relatives, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. So what we see here is in order for the Lord to show Abraham anything, he had to first go, which would lead to my first point, which is be willing to go. And going is never easy. And if you can't tell by my accent, I'm not from Oklahoma. Actually, there's some individuals in this room. I'm from Kennett, technically, Missouri. Half of my life I spent there, so I was born there, lived there for about 9 years, and then moved to Tennessee and was raised in Waverly, Tennessee until I was about 18, and then I came to Oklahoma. But I can tell you for a fact, it was not by choice. I don't have a single family member within a 7.5-hour radius, and it has been that way for the past 5 years. And I was actually a junior in high school when the Lord placed Southwestern on my heart. I wanted to be a missionary. And I was like, okay, I don't really know what that looks like, but we'll see. And then some individuals from Oklahoma, specifically Southwestern Christian, came to my church and had the opportunity to present and to speak. And I was like, you know what? I think that might be the school I'm supposed to go to. Kind of thought about it, but never really gave it a ton of attention, only because everything in life at the time was perfect. It was great. And actually, the Lord had just performed a really, really big miracle in my life and my family's life. And my mom was told for over 12 years that she couldn't have another child. And so here I was, 16 years old, almost 17. And then I have a sister as well, and I believe we're about 4 years apart. So she was about 13. And then mom comes home one day, and out of nowhere, she's pregnant. And not only is she just pregnant, she's like 7 months and a week pregnant and didn't know. So she had no idea. And so long story short, mom has River, and he is the most feisty thing ever with so much personality, but he is like my best little friend. And so I was like, there's no way the Lord's going to pull me away from that. You know, like the Lord actually spoke to me to speak to my mom that she would get pregnant, that she would have another child. And so I felt like, why would he use me in such a big way in my family's life and bring this kid into our family just to pull me away? You know, I was like, nah, that's not right. And then on top of that, my dad's actually a pastor of a compassion church, and they had spent years praying for this building that was told to them through many prophecies that they would receive one day. And we got the building, and it was all at the same time. So we got this building. It's a beautiful church. They were remodeling it, and they were just getting ready for their opening and all of these things. And life, again, was great. I was serving. I had a good job. Everything was just the way that I wanted it to be. And so, and it's funny because I had spent many years from the moment we moved to Tennessee ready to go. I was like, man, I'm ready to go. Like, I'm ready to get out of here. And then now I look back and I'm like, man, maybe I wasn't so ready to get out of here. But even in that moment, I was not. I was like, no, there's no way the Lord's telling me to go. And so I remember voicing it to a couple of people, especially in high school. And you have to think, like, if any of you guys grew up in a small town, like, nobody leaves. Like, you don't just leave. Like, it's almost like a sin if you step out of that town. So, like, you just don't leave. And also in Tennessee, we were one of the first, my senior class was one of the first classes to receive Tennessee Promise, which is 2 years free, which I know you guys have something close to that. And so I was like, I'm also going to miss out on 2 years of free school to go to a private school out of state. I don't really know about that. And so there was everything that was like, yeah, I don't know if I'm really supposed to go. Well, I finally made the decision. I'm like, I'm going to go. So I went and talked to my counselor, and I'm like, hey, look, I don't need to take any of the Tennessee Promise stuff. I don't need to do anything like that. And she's like, why? And I said, I'm going to go to a school in Oklahoma. And I kid you not, with a straight face, she said, you're so stupid. And I said, okay, why? And she said, why would you miss out on 2 years of free school? Why would you go and have to pay for 4 years of school when you could only pay for two here? You can go to any other college in the state that's a community college for free. Why would you go to a different school? And I told her, I was like, I mean, the Lord told me to. And in that, I had a rough class all the way around, but I was one of the few people. I was kind of like, when you just kind of feel alone, kind of that way. I never really had Christian friends, never could really trust any of my friends, anything like that either. And so I was like, yeah, this is tough. And so, I mean, I had friends telling me that I was stupid, that I was crazy, and I was doing like a 2-month mission trip after I graduated. And so everything was like against it. Everything in the world was against me coming to Oklahoma. But I remember I made the decision that day, and I had told my parents, and obviously they're not super excited. Like, me and my dad are really close, and I drove them to church every Sunday. You know, I served in the kids ministry from 12 until I was 18. And so I'm like, yeah, there's no option, Dad. Like, I'm sorry. You know, I have to be obedient to the Lord, and he's telling me to go. And I stand here today to tell you a couple of things. One, I never paid a dime attending college. Never paid one. The Lord provided in ridiculous ways. Like, in ways in which I'll go ask individuals that gave me certain scholarships. I'm like, hey, does that scholarship still exist? Because I'm trying to help, you know, another student out because I still work there and stuff like that. And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. I said, you know, this scholarship, like this specific scholarship, it was not even on my bill anymore. Like, nobody even knows what that scholarship is or where that money came from. And just like stuff like that, as in the Lord provided. And not only that, we have Blake and I met at Southwestern. So we dated, got engaged, and then got married the week of graduation, literally the same week. So we got married, and then that was all super sweet. And then now we have a baby coming in December. And so, yeah, so that's another blessing. And that was definitely a Lord thing as well. And so he spoke to me beforehand that we would. And so I was like, okay, so we have that. And then we got a home and just all these like really, really cool things, but the Lord blessed it. And that's what we also see in the story of Abraham, because Abraham was probably like, dude, why are you telling me to just go? Like, what am I going to get out of this? And then the Lord even says in the next verse, in verses 2-4, it says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And it continues to go on. And he's not just saying, like, Abraham, go, and I'm just going to let you go, and you can figure it out. He's saying, like, Abraham, like, go, and I will bless you. Go, and I will be there with you. Go, and I will not neglect you. I'm going to take care of you, but I need you to be willing to go. And then it ends kind of, I think it's verse 4, maybe verse 5, and it says Abraham went. And then now you can read all through Genesis and so on the story of Abraham and the blessings that came in his life because he was obedient, yes, but he was willing to go. And I find that just super interesting because that's what the Lord did in my life. But also, I'm not going to sit up here and just tell you a story about me moving states expecting you to move states because we love you here. We want you to stay here, so that's not what we're asking. But I will say that going for individuals can look different for everybody. And I say that because there's also another individual. His name's Phil Joel. He's a singer, I believe a part of the Newsboys. I met him a couple of times. Good family friend of ours. And he tells a story of pretty much getting so caught up in fame and wealth and everything that you would ever want if you had the money, you know, if everybody knew who you were, but yet losing everything on the inside and it having zero meaning. And so he prayed to the Lord and was like, look, God, what do you want me to do? You know, what do you want from me? And he said, I want you to go to your kitchen table at 5:30 before your family wakes up and spend time with me for 30 minutes. That's it. It's as simple as that. And he did it for 30 minutes every day for 30 days. And the Lord completely changed that man's life. Like, he shares that. That's his literally like his only message that he has. And that's the message that he preaches everywhere that he goes, because the Lord spoke to him at his kitchen table at 5:30 for 30 days and 30 minutes. That's all it takes. And so going for you might look different. I'm not telling you to move states. And maybe the Lord has been putting it on your heart to move to a different state. I don't know. But I'm just saying that going for you might be going to church multiple times a week. It might be serving on Wednesday in the youth departments. It might be being more consistent on Sundays. It might be waking up a little bit early and going for a walk and spending some time with Jesus. It doesn't necessarily have to be international, nor does it have to be a domestic type of go. And sometimes it will. And so I say that because sometimes we have to be willing to go away in order for the Lord to show us something new. And so where is God wanting to send you to show you something new? And then in the next part of the verse, it actually reads, "So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his will. And the vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hands, and he reworked it into another vessel as it seemed good for the potter to do." And something that's really interesting that Jeremiah notices, he doesn't just notice that the potter's working. Like, he notices that the potter's working with the one piece that just so happens to be stubborn and super uncooperative. And so for most people, like even me, like if I get really frustrated with something, I just step away or I just push it away and don't even touch it again. I'm like, I don't have time for that. I'm not messing with that. But in this case, we see the potter is actually being intentional with the one piece that is being stubborn. And so I find that super interesting because, again, we like to just toss it to the side. And so something that the Lord has specifically done in my life, too, during my time here, 5 years now, is actually in June of 2019, I remember kind of being like on that church high, you know, when you're just like super close to the Lord, everything's about Jesus. A lot of people talk about it with camp and things like that. And it's like, no, I'm close to Jesus. Like, I know Jesus. You know, your social media is full of it. You have your Bible where, or your Bible everywhere you go, you know, like that kind of thing. Well, that was me. And so I was like, man, I'm real close to Jesus. But then I just got a little bit more crazy, and I just remember being in a prayer service on the camp tour, and I was praying, and I'm like, look, you know, break me for what breaks you, not knowing what was to come. And so if you don't mean it, don't pray it, because I prayed it, and I mean it now, but in the moment when it got a little bit difficult, I struggled with what I prayed with or prayed for. But I remember I said it again. I'm like, Lord, seriously, I mean it. You know, break me for what breaks you. And the Lord has always spoke to me through visions. He speaks to many people many different ways. But again, I like to learn through experience. I like to see it. I like to walk through it. I like to, you know, be there, be in the moment. And so the Lord gave me a vision in that moment. And there was these two pillars. It was like all black and then these two white pillars. And then on the pillar to the left was actually a really, really, really pretty piece of pottery. And I mean, beautiful. I'd probably spend thousands of dollars on it if I had it. I was like, man, that's super pretty. And then this man kind of walked in, which I know now is Jesus, all white, you know, wearing all white. And then he kind of looks at the pottery and he looks at me and he says, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. And he grabs the pottery and he holds it. He says, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure, not really knowing what I'm saying I'm sure for, but I'm like, yeah, I'm sure. And then he grabs it and he says, are you sure? And I said, yes. And that third time that he asked and I said, yes, he dropped it. And this super pretty piece of pottery shatters into billions of pieces on the ground. And in that moment, like, I still struggled to figure out how to really describe it other than the way that those pieces fell and shattered is how I felt on the inside. Like, everything in me just broke into, like, hundreds of pieces. And then from that moment until really the next 8 months, February of the next year, I went through the darkest 8 months of my life, thinking that that would be the closest the Lord would ever have been. I felt as though he was further away than he ever was. And so I'm sitting here confused. I'm super depressed, super anxious, super worked up, not quite understanding what the Lord's doing, beginning to get frustrated. Because again, I've grown up in ministry. I've grown up in church. I never seemed to be the one to get into the alcohol and the drinking and the cussing and the partying. And I tried to be very steady in my faith and in my walk with the Lord and always put him first. But what I didn't realize is the pride that followed it. And so I was super prideful. And I'm like, I've got it all together. I've got it all figured out. You know, I'm the president of STA at Southwestern. I can talk. I'm the one they asked to speak, you know. And I had every sort of prideful mentality you could have about yourself is exactly what I had about myself. And I thought I had it all together. I knew I wanted to be a motivational speaker. I knew I wanted to travel the world. I knew I wanted to share and preach the gospel. And then in that moment, in those 8 months, obviously I was really frustrated Because I'm like, we had this figured out. I don't understand what we're going through. We had it figured out. And then I remember getting to the end of those 8 months where I finally decided to make a decision, which would lead to my second point of being willing to submit. So always be willing to submit. Because in that moment, I had two options. I could either give up where I was and just say, I'm just going to continue living life this way, where it was so fake and never genuine. Or I could submit to the Lord and what he was trying to teach me, obviously, in those moments. And so I was that stubborn piece of clay. I just didn't want to cooperate. I didn't want to work with him. I didn't want to have to figure it out the hard way. But he sure did teach me the hard way. And something else that I learned that's also really interesting about pottery that a lot of us don't know about is when we see a potter working, a lot of the times we're like, okay, yeah, they're just working on the outside. But it's more than the outside. I mean, they are sweating. They are putting their energy. They're putting their time. They're moving their feet. And they're not just working on the outside. They're actually working from the inside because they can't work on the outside until they work from the inside. And the inside's the heart. That's what it's actually called in clay. And so I feel like that's what the Lord was doing is like, Kaylee, look, I need you to be submissive. I need you to learn from this process, but I need to get to the inside. And the only way I could do that was to break you. But you prayed that prayer. I didn't. You prayed that. You asked me to break me or break you for what breaks me. And I did. I didn't say it'd be easy. And being a Christian's not easy either. I don't know if y'all figured that out, but it's not. And it's never said that in scripture either. It never says it would be easy. But the Lord wants to get in our hearts and work from the inside out, which is exactly what he does in the pottery, which is super cool. And so my question to you is, are you ready to not only see what the Lord desires to show you, but ready for the Lord to do a work in you? Because in order to fully grasp what he desires to show us, we must be willing to submit to his authority, which would lead to the next section. And it says, House of Israel, can I not treat you as the potter treats his clay? This is the Lord's declaration. Just like clay in the potter's hands, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. And the Lord makes it very clear to Jeremiah that I am sovereign. I am Lord. I am in control. I've got this. I choose to be intentional with that stubborn piece of clay because I know that there's good in it. And there can be good that comes out of it. And so I'm going to continue to work until otherwise told. And so he continues to work with it. And so my third point would be to be willing to finish. Because we left off where the clay, obviously, in the heart, in the middle, the Lord's working from the inside, just as the potter is, which again, I didn't say this earlier, but in Isaiah 64, it talks about how he, being the Lord, is the potter, and we are the clay. So just to clarify that, because I forgot to say that earlier. So that's what we're talking about. But also something that I found interesting when doing some research is it's more than just shaping the pottery. Because after it's done, okay, so after the potter is like, man, this is beautiful. This is everything I wanted for this piece of clay. He puts it in the fire. And the fire is never easy, nor is it comfortable. And I can say that too. Because in those 8 months, that was definitely the fire. And if you want me to be completely honest, me standing up here today is a fire. Because about, I want to say in March, I went to Australia. And I was asked to speak in Australia. No, it was not very good, guys. It was, I think, maybe 5 minutes, maybe six. I might give myself that extra minute because I've never felt attack of the enemy like I did in that moment. Like confusion, stood on the stage, immediate, like blank. I will never be able to describe, like, could not focus to save my life. Had no idea. I could have notes in front of me, but it was like the page was blank. I just couldn't do it. And so me standing up here is difficult. Because I struggle with speaking in front of people, believe it or not. I'm super nervous. And I have a hard time with that. My size has a lot to do with that. My voice tone has a lot to do with that. Years of bullying has a lot to do with that. But at the same time, I had to come to the realization that this is what the Lord asked me to do. He told me to go on the stage. And I told him, no thanks. I really did. When Pastor Steve asked, I was like, you're going to have to give me a rest a week. I'll let you know in about a week. But I was like, I can't. Myself to do that again. Like, do you know how many times I've messed it up? And then the time before that, I got the opportunity to speak. And I remember I got the whole Bible verse all messed up. The whole story. Oh, it was so bad. I got the whole story all messed up. And it's funny because I'll talk to Blake about that. And he said, Kaylee, yeah, you might have messed up the story, but he said, do you remember the altars? I said, no. I said, I messed up that story. It was corrected. in front of the pastor, like it was rough. And he said, but you don't remember the altars. He said, you don't remember the lives that were changed. And I had to sit there and think, and that hurt. I was like, you know, that wasn't in that moment, that was not what mattered to me. Because I was like, I didn't look right. I didn't teach right. I messed it up. And the Lord couldn't have used that. There's no way the Lord used that. And so I'm sitting here looking at my shattered piece of just pottery on the ground. I'm like, there's no way the Lord's going to fix that. I've messed up. And so he sends me through the fire because he finally reworked it. And I crack again. And that's the thing that happens a lot of times.
Take time to be with you. And as Andrew said, to spend that intimate time with the Lord,
will ever be beautiful without it. That's beautiful. In Japan, they fix the cracks with gold, which is cool. It makes it unique. It makes it worth more valuable. But to me, that blood is so much more valuable than gold ever could be. But the Lord is super faithful, and He never wants us to just walk away. And you know, Josh Hanna told me something the other day, which I find super interesting. And he said, you know the difference between a dead and a living sacrifice? And I said, don't. And he said, a living sacrifice can crawl off the altar, not a dead one. He said, don't crawl off that altar. So when you make that decision to finish, finish well. Because you were asked to be a living sacrifice. Be one. Don't crawl off. But even if you crawl off, He'll help you get back on. Because that's the kind of God that we serve. He's so faithful and loves us very much and desires to have that relationship with you. And so as Andrew said, maybe you're one of the individuals and you can tell me like, hey, Kaylee, look, I haven't even started, let alone finish. He's not done. And there's plenty of time. And you can do that today.
Amen. Can you give Kaylee one more round of applause for her willingness to listen to the Lord? Amen. We are blessed in this congregation, in this church, to have people who are willing and eager to speak.
It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion Church resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.